Andy, you'll be all right. Go, yeah, you careful.
It's a bitterly cold morning in the parking lot at the Castle Square Apartments outside of Boston's Chinatown. Chiwan Chow waits with Ivy and Andy, two of her three children, for the bus that will take them to Boston Public Schools, Horace Mann School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing in Alston.
Ivy, you want no talking, you?
Yeah.
You say want no talking, no?
Chow wants Ivy, 11, and Andy, 8, to practice speaking out loud. The two are deaf with hearing aids called cochlear implants. They've recently moved into classes where they're taught with spoken rather than sign language. Chow's been advocating at Horace Mann for the switch, but like many parents who don't speak English, she's struggled to intervene effectively. Chow can't read or write. She was born in southern China and speaks Cantonese. Chow knows but a few phrases in English even after 20 years in Boston.
I thought to myself, in fact, that IEP was a school program to help me apply for social services for my children. I thought IEP was a service provided by the school, the name of what the school did to help me fill out forms and complete applications to get help from the government.
IEPs detail what educators and therapists are obligated to do for children with special needs. They set targets to measure progress. For parents like Chow, who don't understand English, meeting with teachers and special educators to generate IEPs, let alone deciphering the written documents, can be a nightmare.
I would just sit there and listen. They talked. I listened. But I never understood the purpose of the meeting. I just thought to myself that the teachers were all there to help my children, and since I couldn't understand anything, what else could I do? I could only trust the school, the teachers, and leave everything to them.
Chow says the Cantonese speaker that Horace Mann used at her children's IEP meetings wasn't a professional interpreter. She summarized conversations in a few short sentences. Meetings lasted 30 minutes, even when half a dozen teachers and administrators needed to speak and be translated. Chow now relies on a fully bilingual interpreter from the Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center. He's a licensed counselor familiar with special education law. This interpreter volunteers his time to attend school meetings with Chow and translates sentence by sentence. Meetings now last 3 to 4 hours. Horace Mann Principal Jeremiah Ford says he's surprised that any parent with children at his school would feel shut out. He says his teachers and administrators make sure parents know they can always ask questions. He and his staff work with families speaking 25 languages. Ford says they can't communicate in most of those languages and don't have recourse to professional interpreters. Nonetheless, he thinks he would know if parents were experiencing difficulties.
And we're also readers of facial and body language. So that, you know, yes, I do not know the 145 or the 10,000 languages of the world. However, I do know the language of the heart. I read people all the time. And when someone's uncomfortable, I know it regardless of what land they're from or what language they speak.
Lawyers and advocates argue that good intentions aren't sufficient when it comes to special education. They say it takes extra effort and resources to make the IEP process accessible to non-English-speaking families. Stories like Chow's, they say, are common.
I think that there is no doubt that the experiences of these families are representative.
That's Julia Landau. She's an attorney for Mass Advocates for Children, or MAC.
The special education laws are, on the one hand, unbelievable laws because they say parents have a right to participate in the decision-making process. So that's terrific. But how can parents participate if they are invited to a meeting and there's no interpreter there? Or there is an interpreter, but the interpreter who's there is a custodian who's pulled into the meeting at the last minute, or a secretary who is going to make the parent feel incredibly uncomfortable in terms of confidentiality. So these parents have laws that end up being an empty promise.
Mac has been working in the town of Lawrence for 8 years to support Latino families with autistic children. It took years, Landau says, to build trust and to understand how to reach out.
When we started our trainings, we came in with our regular PowerPoint presentation, and parents listened really politely, and we had an interpreter, and said on the evaluation surveys that everything was great, but it wasn't. because we, at the very beginning, ourselves did not understand all the linguistic and cultural barriers that the families we were reaching out to faced.
Parent educators started using blown-up poster-sized IEPs translated into Spanish. They followed through by playing games to gauge whether parents were grasping difficult concepts. Participating in activities such as these and having access to MAC's community liaison Yahaira Blanco helped parent Julina Mercedes. Mercedes's 8-year-old son is autistic.
I learned about it from an agency called MAC where Yahaira Blanco worked, and she was the one who taught me little by little, and that's how I learned, because at that time it was a very difficult world that I was in. In the first place, I didn't know what autism was, and I felt that I didn't understand. The only thing I understood was that I wanted to see my son happy. And Yahaira was talking and talking and talking, and I felt frustrated. I cried a lot.
Mercedes grew up in Puerto Rico. She came to Massachusetts 9 years ago. Mercedes took courses at a local community college to study English. But she stopped because things were so difficult with her children. MAC attorneys helped Mercedes find an out-of-district placement for her son, but she continues to volunteer to help other Spanish-speaking parents in Lawrence learn about the IEP process. Elizabeth Sipsey is Lawrence's coordinator for special learning services. She says Latinos make up about 89% of the Lawrence student body. The town doesn't employ certified translators or interpreters, Sipsey says, but it has a parent outreach center where it conducts training and information sessions in Spanish. The numbers of parents attending sessions is usually no more than 8 or 10 at a time. Sipsey says she doesn't know why it's so hard for parents to access the system.
And parents don't always respond, and it's frustrating for us because the opportunities are here for them to be a part of our decision-making and to be involved with their child's education.
Special education advocates say that culture and history may provide the greatest clue in explaining why non-English-speaking parents hesitate to speak up during the IEP process. Many parents have been raised to believe that challenging authority is impolite, and many of these parents have come from countries where governments imprison or kill those who complain. For WGBH, I'm Kathy Corman in Boston.